Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Strength like no other. Now lay your hands on yourself, say it reaches to me. The strength of God is reaching for you tonight.
Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Reaches to me.
Yes.
You are my strength. Strength like no other.
You are my strength.
You are my strength.
Come on, prophesy and declare it.
Strength like no other.
Let me hear you declare it.
Strength like no other.
Now say it reaches.
Reaches.
Let's declare it one more time. You are my strength. Come on.
You are my strength.
Of your grace. Come on, church.
In the fullness of your grace.
In the power of your name.
In the power of your name.
Let me testify.
You lift me up.
Yes. Hallelujah. You lift me.
You lift me up.
One more time. In the fullness of your grace.
In the fullness.
Somebody declare it. Will you give the Lord praise tonight? Thank you for being so gracious. Thank you for being so kind.
Good evening, and welcome to Start Bright. We're on the air every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Let us pray. Father, my God, we thank you. We praise you, we worship you, we adore you. There is none as holy as thee, Lord. Father, my God, we're grateful. We're grateful for all you've done, all you're doing, all you're yet to do. We're grateful, Father, my God, for what you did, O Lord, on the cross, Father, my God, for going to the cross, dying for our sins, and resurrecting, Father, my God. We are grateful. We're grateful for your everlasting love. You're grateful for your everlasting mercy. We're grateful for your everlasting goodness. We're grateful for your kindness. We're grateful for all you've done. In you we live and move and have our being. We are grateful, Father, my God. King of kings, we worship you. We adore you. Son of God, you are so good. Father, my God, when we think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done, our very soul shouts hallelujah. Praise God for saving us. We're grateful for you saved us. We're grateful for your endless love. We're grateful for your endless joy. We're grateful for your endless peace. We're grateful, Father, my God. For how you intervene in a matter. Your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Father, oh my God, even when we think we've worked out a matter, you have, Father, my God, another idea, another direction. When we think we have a solution, when we think there is hope is lost, Father, my God, you show yourself strong by being the way maker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper. Father, my God, King of kings, Lord of lords, let us even look at the resurrection. To be encouraged to know how you move in our lives. Father, my God, that even when something seems over, even when something seems dead, even when something seems like there's no hope, even when we have considered it hopeless, you, O Lord, are able to bring a new dimension to life in the name of Jesus. I'm reminded of Sarai and Abraham. 25 years they waited on you, but you fulfilled your promise. The Israelites, Father, my God, you fulfilled your promise to Abraham. Thank you, Jesus. You are not a man that would lie. You are not a man that will boast. You, Father, my God, fulfill your promises. Father, my God, King of kings, Lord of lords, hey, this year is a divine move of you. You are moving. Father, my God, help us to jump onto the wave. Jump into the wave of how you are moving. Not to be restricted by our own belief system, our own way of thinking, our own way of believing. Because, Father, my God, that is so limited compared to how you move, compared to how you work things out. Father, my God, even when it looks like the situation is hopeless, you are our hope. Father, my God, help us to press into you because you are our hope. You are our strength. You are our help. We are grateful, Daddy. We're grateful, King of kings. As the song says, you are our strength like no other. You are our strength like no other. Father, my God, thank you. You know, I'm grateful that you're unpredictable. I'm actually grateful that you're unpredictable. Yes, we like instruction. Yes, we like. But I'm grateful that you're unpredictable. Because, Father, my God, if you followed human standard, where would my hope be? Where would our hope be? Father, my God, you raised Lazarus from the dead when his sisters thought all hope had lost. That even when you told them you are the resurrection and the life, They even felt like, yes, we hear you, but we know we will see again. But you are passing a message across then and even now, that even when it looks like there is no hope, there is no way, you have a way of making a way. But we have to lean into you. We have to put our hope in you. We have to put all in you. Father, my God, build our faith to believe you, even when everything is saying contrary. Build our faith to believe in you. Build our faith. Build our faith. Build our faith to believe in you, even when everything is saying contrary. Father, my God, we thank you. Everything that people are believing for, let them look to you, because you will have a way of working it out. Even when the enemy is saying otherwise, you have a way of working it out. We will choose this day to believe your voice above it all. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the program. You know, I had one thing in mind that I thought we'll discuss, but I want us to look at the season that we're in. You know, and I'm going to read, and I want us to be prepared for a move of God in our lives. Some of you might be believing to finish your course, to pass your course. Some of you might be believing, you might be believing that, you know, their GCSEs coming up, A levels coming up, dissertations, exam, so many things, university project. You know, some of you might be believing God for a job, a business, to get married, to have children, and the list to move. You know, you might be believing God for so many things. You might be believing God for salvation for a family member, a friend, a neighbor. You, whatever you're believing God for, and you can't see, you don't actually see how it's going to happen. You don't see what's going to happen. Now, I've just been reminded of that sometimes we rely too much on our natural eyes and ears to let us know what the outcome is going to be. Holy Spirit has just reminded me of my salvation. And I, the auntie of Starbright gave her life first, and I used to follow her I used to follow occasionally, and we had to be very, you could say, sneaky in going to church. I used to follow her, and I would just go with her very quietly. I think it was on my second visit, and it was at Easter, and maybe this is why the Holy Spirit's reminded me. It was Easter, and I think it was Easter Monday, not too sure. Anyway, and I went with her to church, and the pastor was talking about resurrection, and he personalized it and said, even if I was the only one, he would have still died, you know, gone to the cross, died, and rose again, even if you're only one. And that drew me. I found myself walking to the front of the church, you know, someone beside my sister was, the auntie of Starbright was nudging her. And it was like, it was amazing. And because of certain situations, I wasn't able to go back to the church. But they prayed for me, they prayed for a group of us, and they insisted that we speak in tongues before we leave. You know, I didn't know what I was saying, but I spoke something and they were, you know, encouraging me. They prayed for the an infilling of the Holy Spirit. I didn't understand it then, and I have a better understanding as I grew. But I didn't understand why they were, you know, insisting on these things. But, you know, when you look back years in your life, you realize, Lord, maybe they never did it before, but it was really needed for what I was going to face afterwards. And if they looked at the natural, because I was never able to go back to the church, if they looked at the natural, they probably, you know, maybe in hearing, probably have heard what happened on Stude afterwards. They'll probably thought, a lost one, gone, no hope. And they wouldn't have probably heard that God made a way, and even know that I'm still serving the Lord, I'm still a Christian. But if they looked at the natural, and with the natural eyes, ears, that was one lost, went back in, or, you know, they might have made an assumption that was not correct. And this is, I'm reminded of this because we cannot, in this season, look at the natural. I want to encourage you not to look at the natural to judge the outcome, not to look at the natural to determine this is what is going to happen to a person, to a situation, because we do not know how something is going to come about. And when the disciples and everyone, this is the Messiah, a lot believed, even though there was prophecies, a lot believed it was going to be like David. And some of you that I've been speaking to would have heard me say this quite a lot, because this is what is on my heart, that we can't look at something and judge this is how it's going to be, because God has a different way of working out. Now, I'm going to read from Mark 15. And I'm going to read from 42. Mark 15, verse 42. And it says, this all happened on Friday, the day of preparation. And that's talking about the crucifixion. The day before the Sabbath. As evening approached, an honored member of the high council, Joseph from Arimathea, who was waiting for the kingdom of God to come, gathered his courage and went to Pilate to ask for Jesus' body. Pilate couldn't believe that Jesus was already dead. So he called for the Roman military officer in charge and asked him. The officer confirmed the fact, and Pilate told Joseph he could have the body. Joseph brought a long sheet of linen cloth, and taking Jesus's body down from the cross, he wrapped it in the cloth and laid it in the tomb that had been carved out of rock. Then he rolled a stone in the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where Jesus' body was laid. You know, after Jesus died on the cross, Joseph of Arimathea asked for his body and then sealed it in a new tomb. You see, although he's an honored member of the High Council, and that's why he said he gathered courage, because he's high up in the council and he knew that people were against Jesus. But Joseph was a secret disciple of Jesus, and we need to remember not all Jewish leaders hated Jesus. You know, we can think of others that just, they didn't have, we can say, maybe. And this is why we can't judge from the outside. You know, we don't know what else is happening in someone's life. And sometimes we can judge from the outside and make a conclusion. Some people are afraid for their life, so inwardly they praising worship, but there's some things they just can't do, or maybe go to a church or something, but they have a relationship they might not be able to. And sometimes God is dealing and helping all of us. So as there might be a fear that constrains them, there might be persecution that constrains, so many different things might constrain them. So, and even though we can look and say, well, you know, they should do this, if you don't, you know, if you don't acknowledge God in, you know, Jesus in the open, he won't before the fire. But he knows where we all are at, and he knows what we, situations that we're in. So I want us to, if you're a person that's very much what I want to call this is yes or no, I want us to consider the grace, because Jesus looks at the grace and meets us in the grace of our lives. So where it's not, when it's not, maybe that, where we're in that, meets us there and helps us to navigate through to get to where he's taking us to. So not all Jewish leaders hated Jesus. Joseph risked his reputation to give Jesus a proper burial. Because burying, you know, we don't want to even kind of imagine what the other type of burial was. But, you know, people were buried in a new tomb. And if we look back in the Bible, Abraham asked for a certain land so he could bury Sarah. Oh, so many times people were doing certain things so they could bury, and it was a cave, etc. It is frightening to risk one's reputation even for what is right. Even now, if your Christian witness endangers your reputation, we need to remember that Joseph was in that same position, and he asked God to strengthen him. So many times he's remembered and admired, you know, but then when he was in that situation, he had to, you know, as it says, gathered his courage. He had to gather courage. He had to gather strength to do it. And now we have to remember that the Lord understands when we are gathering courage, we are gathering strength to do something for the Lord, to step out in faith. But I want to encourage you to do so. There's so many members of the High Council that probably did certain things. Some are reported, recorded, some are not. Pilate, it said, was very surprised that Jesus had died so quickly. So he asked for it to be verified. You know, today, many people deny the resurrection. And there are those that say that Jesus didn't really die. You know, that maybe there was a way he was allowed to escape, because, you know, it's recorded that Pilate was surprised it was so quickly. But we have to remember that no matter the account, that the part where it says that Pilate asked the officer to confirm his death, the officer did confirm, you know, and the women also, because it says Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph also knew where he was buried, so even and witnessed to his burial, you know, was quickly put there because it was coming up to Sabbath, and that Jesus physically suffered the death on the cross. Now I want us to remember, I really want us to remember those points. So there's things in our lives that are physically going to like die. Some things need to die for the new to come, but we need to prepare for the new. Okay, now it's the scripture that I'm reminded is, you know, the seed has, and I'm paraphrasing, the seed has to fall to the ground and die. Now if we look at the practicality of that, I can have a seed on my shelf for ages. I can really have a seed. You know, the grandma of Starbright has had some packets of seeds on a shelf that she was given, and it's been there. Now she now wants to get this thing to grow, so that seed is now, she's in the season now of planting that seed. She's in the season of placing it into the ground. So we need to ensure, because what comes, thank you Holy Spirit, the seed doesn't remain the seed, it dies to itself and it brings forth something completely different. And there's some seeds when it grows, you're not sure 100% how it's going to come out. Now, right, okay. Matthew 13, verse, I'm going to read from verse 3. I want us to look at this. A farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered it across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate it. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The plants sprang up quickly, but they soon wilted beneath the hot sun and died because the roots had no nourishment in the shallow soil. So the root of the situation was not planted in a place where it was going to be fed. So that can even, the foundation of a relationship is not in a good soil. The foundation of, you know, it refers, anything that we're doing is not in good soil. Now, let's have a look. So things start well, but it withers. But now it says other seeds fell on thorns and shot up and was choked by tender blades. So something starts up in our lives, and I want us to look at the thorns as the enemy sets traps, and it chokes when something is developing. The enemy places a situation and chokes and kills something off. But some seeds fall on fertile soil and produce a good crop that is 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. So it develops to the point it produces fruit. That what it started, when the soil is good, it becomes fruitful and multiply. You know, like the scripture says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish. This is backed up by some of the good soil and the crop is 36, even 100. So we now see that we have to now prepare so that everything God is doing, we want it to be on good soil, don't we? We want it to be in that faith soil. We want it to be in that place where, you know, as I say, in you we live, in you we move, in you we have our being. We want us to believe, we want to believe that God by himself is doing the work. Okay? So we have to have a faith to hold on to believe. No matter even if it looks like it's over, because Joseph might have thought this is over, but he did the best he could with the situation. Now, I want to say that even if it looks like it fell on shallow ground, it sprang up and wilted, even in that wilted situation, God can bring something. Okay? Even if it feels like the roots had no nourishment, God can feed the roots. Even if it looks, God can do, because he's the one that can transplant and graft in a situation and make it come back to life, or even make that which you're believing for another round to happen. It all depends what it is. Sometimes we look at someone to give us the final say, but God has the final say in our lives. So we're going to have a break. And after the break, we'll continue with this passage in Mark. We'll be back after the break.
Champion, he reigns forever.
Good evening and welcome back. Welcome back. Atmosphere shift now. Chains be broken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read Matthew 25. And it says from verse 1, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. The five who were foolish took no oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all lay down and slept. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and welcome him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to the shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Sir, open the door for us." But he called back, "I don't know you." So stay awake and be prepared, because you don't know the day or the hour of my return. I want to rephrase this as the Spirit is leading. You know, sometimes when I rephrase it to an individual person, but this is how I want us to look at this. Okay, it tells about being prepared. Now, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them had faith. The other 5 had faith and extra faith. The 5 who had faith took no oil for their lamps, just enough for what they perceived was going to happen. But the other 5 were wise enough to take extra faith, to team up with others, join their faith together. When the promise was delayed, they all lay down and slept. At midnight, they were roused by a shout, "Look, the blessing, the answer to the prayer is about coming. Come out and welcome the blessing." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their faith. When the ones with little faith, with just enough faith, asked the others, "Please give us some of your faith, some of your faith, because our light, the light of God within us, is going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. We just have enough to carry us through to the blessing. I have enough to carry me. I can't join my faith with your faith now. I can't join my belief for what you have, because I have hooked up with others to believe for what I believe in. Right, why don't you go back and see if you can find someone who will help join their faith with your faith to believe you for your promise?" But while they were gone to build up their faith, to get their faith restored, the answer came, and those who were ready went with him to receive their promise, to receive. Later, when they came back, they stood outside the door of the threshold of the blessing and they called, open the door to the answer. And they said, I don't know you. Now, some of you probably shouting blasphemy because I've paraphrased it, but it does say, without faith, it is the producer is saying it. I keep forgetting sometimes he's not on air. I feel I should give him a mic sometimes. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. Not that it's you can please him, you'll disappoint him. You know, when you disappoint somebody, that means you've pleased them, but they just, you feel they let you down. But it says it's impossible. You need faith. Now, pastors said many times that God transacts with faith. You have the faith, you get the blessing. You have the faith, you get the blessing. I remember I've shared with you before, and I'm reminded of these things, that we have to believe God for that, even regardless of what it looks like. Regardless. Now, I went to the shops with one of my grandbabies and said, I'm going to take to buy shoes. Go with me on this journey. And the shop assistant, you know, he chose shoes. Right? Do you like this? Do you like this? Do you like this? You know, I knew what I wanted for him, but, you know, he had other things in mind. But I did still like the other one, you know. And then went to the till to pay. And, you know, the shop assistant had assumed I had a child that was 7, which was, you know, that would be a miracle, you know. And I said, no, this is my grandbaby. They, whoa, okay, you know when someone's shocked but it just addresses their face very quickly. But I say that to say it's not an impossibility for God. So some of you that have been told about all the pausations and everything, you need to hang on to the story of Sarah. You need to hang on to the story of Hannah. You need to hang on to the story of Rick. You need to hang on to those stories and not the ones that you hear of this, that, and the other. You need to hang on to the stories that will build your faith. Join your faith with the faith of those women. Join your faith to the belief. Now, you're always going to be reminded, because the enemy is very good at reminding you, well, you know, such and such has been waiting for so long, and yet they haven't. And such, no, that's not your business. It's actually not your business. Your business is, you're like these, prepared for the blessing. You have to be prepared for the blessing. So if you're prepared for a new job, get your outfit for the interview, because, you know, I do not want you to do your interview from your bed. Please, not appropriate, not appropriate. Please, please, please don't do your interview from your bed. Get a little desk, have a background that you can put on when you do a video. It must not be viewed that you can see, the person can see your bed, because then it looks like you're not really serious or you just got up. You know, we don't want to do that. Okay, get your outfit, even if it's just a top, because a lot of interviews appear, you know, video. Get that top off, a jacket, a suit. You know, look, you can have your jogging bottoms underneath. Nobody, they didn't stand up and do a twirl. Get prepared. Prepare your faith. Yes, you might be on your 10th interview. It don't matter. You know, you can get it on the 11th. It doesn't matter. The one for you, it will be for you. You know, you might say that you're believing to get married. Get something towards it. Start putting a saving pot together for it. Because weddings cost. Okay? Even if you want to do registry only, it's going to cost. They're not registering. They're not going to say, I'll bless you. Come in. Prepare. prepare. Remember it says about prepare. It builds your faith. Prepare. You want to have a child. Buy something as a token to the child who went. Prepare. Prepare. You want whatever it is. You want to buy a car. Prepare for the insurance. Prepare for the road task. Prepare. Because God can do a miracle and give you a car. If you don't have the money to put it on the road, it's just an ornament outside your house. And if your house doesn't have a driveway, then you're going to be paying road tax. So prepare. Prepare. You know, Joseph, as we saw, going back to this, prepared. He had, even though he didn't think he was preparing, he had that tomb. Can you imagine? In fact, let's not imagine if nobody had a tomb prepared. Let's not just imagine. I know it was Jesus just borrowed it, but it was significant that there was a tomb ready. It's very significant. I know we talk about the resurrection, but that time, those 3 days, it's significant that Jesus was lying, was in a tomb. They had to go somewhere to find that he had risen. You have to go somewhere, see something to know God has done it. You have to have an evidence that this is how it was and this is how it is now. There is, whoa, you know, almost like a before and after picture. You know, sometimes you take a picture before makeup, after makeup, and everyone goes, whoa, wow, is that really? Or before this and before, you know, all that. There has to be before and after to show forth the praises of God. And I want us to be really prepared. I feel my time is going. I'm looking at the time. Producer, oh my days, he's telling me I have 6 minutes more. And I haven't even finished reading the passage. So I don't want to rush it because we're going to go. And we're in the season of Holy Spirit, calm down, as that song. You know, it's not just a song that we just sing and shake our waist. Heaven's up. Oh, oh. No. We're in that season where the Lord said he's going to send. He was around and did so many miraculous things. Then later, he said, I'm going to go, but send. We're in that season of miraculous. So prepare. If you're not prepared, please prepare. Please prepare. And get ready. Join your faith. Believe God. God, in this season, I can get a job. In this season, I can be proposed to. In this season, I can be engaged to. In this season, I can. In this season, because it's new, it's transformative. Grab hold of it. In this season, what is it? Now, some of you may say, oh, what? Don't do what if. Don't do what if. Just hold on. Hold on. Hold on to what God. Because God is a God of suddenly, 3 days, whoo, everything changed. Everything changed. So God can change everything in a twinkling of an eye. But we have to be ready for that move. We do have to be ready. We do have to be ready. So you have not started saving. Please start saving. If you don't believe, you've put it, the belief, the faith is covered with dust. Dust it off and fill that lamp with oil. Father, my God, we just thank you. Adonai, we praise you, King of Kings, we worship you. We ask that you will reignite the faith of those that their faith is waning. Because, Lord, I know you can do great and marvelous things. You're able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can imagine or think according to your purpose. You are able. You are able. So we choose to believe that you are able. Lord, we're not looking at the situation as it is. Because when we look at this, what happened, what you did, rising from the dead, that even when something looks dead, even when something looks no hope, even when it looks like how can this happen? You are able to do. If you can tell to Sarah this time next year, you can say to many people this time next year. Even if they have faltered, you can cause a situation to turn around. Because Father, my God, your timing is perfect. Lord, I choose to believe you. We choose to believe you for that which is on our hearts. I want you to think about everything that's on your heart and say them before the Lord. Everything that's on your heart, and you know it's only God that can do. Say them before the Lord. Anything. Don't look at the possibility or the impossibility. Look at the God of all possibilities. Just fix your eyes on Him. Let your faith be increased. Faith be increased. Faith be increased. Faith be increased. And let it not wane. Let it not wane. Because Jesus is able to do. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, King of Kings. Thank you, Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've come to the end of a program. You know, we have a Starbright event on Saturday. The tickets are on Eventbrite. Come and be blessed. We're pressing forward in the Lord because in the season, we need to make sure our lamps are filled to overflowing. Okay? Have a blessed and glorious week, and bye for now.
I'm not forsaken, never alone. The God of heaven calls me his own. He's not just seated upon the throne. I know he's right here inside my home. I've got a treasure here in my heart, and in my weakness it won't depart. I have a Savior who will abide. He's not just with me, he lives inside. Just go as Daniel is, our God will bring you out, and he will testify. He shuts the lion's mouth. Go ask those Hebrew boys if he'll stick by your side. They will identify the